This podcast is supported by Elite Sports Travel. Visit elitesportstravel.co.uk to view the various packages available to watch live NFL games in the US. Bookings are currently available for the Super Bowl in February and also the 2023 season in Las Vegas. Now let's get into the podcast.
This is Ryan Fitzpatrick, and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
Hello everybody, welcome to another episode of the Neil Reynolds Podcast in association with Elite Sports Travel. They're our title sponsors for Season 3 as we continue to tell stories of all lives spent in football. And this week we are telling the tale of a young man who's gone from Aberdeen in Scotland all the way to the top of the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens. So here is my conversation with Scottish edge rusher for the Baltimore Ravens, David Ajabo. David, let's start with growing up in Scotland. So what are your memories of Scotland? And was American football even on the radar then?
No, it wasn't at all. So I moved there when I was seven. My family, due to my dad's job. And I didn't even know about American football, to be honest.
And then off to America when? What was the progression from Scotland to America?
I came to America when I was 15. You know, with the hopes of going, you know, pro or the next level in basketball and soccer.
And when did you start to think about football then? When did that get on your radar?
Yeah, so one of my best friends who's actually here with me now, he started playing football and he switched over from basketball as well. And I just seen him have a lot of success. And, you know, we're close anyways, really good friends. So I just thought I'll try it out too. And it worked out pretty well.
What had been your thoughts or views of American football from afar when you'd seen it before you tried it?
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a violent sport, a lot of energy. A lot of people come together as one and seemed exciting.
So I understand you were a track star as well, right? So did that catch the attention of the football coaches?
Yeah. So, you know, in my search for, you know, another sport, while soccer and basketball weren't really going well, I got introduced to track and, you know, just started running pretty fast. And I guess the coaches liked what they saw.
What position did you play in soccer?
Center back.
Okay. Do you think you could have made that if you'd stayed in Scotland? Do you think you'd have been playing professionally?
Man, as God knows, man. I don't know.
Never look back. Keep looking forward. what was the recruiting process like? Again, because you were fairly new to American football and then you have all these schools trying to get you to come and play college football for them. Can that be a bit head spinning?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if I'm being real, my summer that started playing football, it got cut short because colleges were already inviting me over to do visits. Mm. And I didn't even play football yet. So, you know, it was hectic before I even, you know, really started learning about the sport or even, you know, put pads on, honestly. So, I mean, it's nothing to complain about, you know, honestly a blessing, but definitely so hectic.
Is it true that one of the factors in the University of Michigan decision was it kind of reminded you of Scotland with the weather?
Yeah. I definitely wanted to go to a place where it was like similar weather. And I also just came from New Jersey as well, where I did my high school. So, you know, I just wanted to stick to, you know, that kind of similar feel, kind of gray, gloomy, you know, a little cold, man. I like the cold, man.
Good. Well, yeah, I mean, we all kind of, I think we embrace it when we're in the UK. I remember going to Scottish Claymore's practices, so the old NFL Europe League back in the day. It would rain sideways in Scotland. So I'm surprised you relished it.
Yeah, man, you got to embrace it.
Well, it's good football weather, they always say, right? Good football weather. Did you have to stay patient? Because like you said, you were learning the game, right? And suddenly you're on a big, big, big stage at Michigan.
Hmm. I mean, that's what life's all about. You got to stay patient, just learn, you know, pay your dues and, you know, look at the people that came before you. So, you know, I was new to the sport, you know, I had to respect that. So people have been playing since, you know, essentially they were born or able to, you know. Mm. So, you know, I couldn't come and cheat the process. I just had to stay down, you know, watch and learn, honestly.
And was that something as you learned, as you went along, did you get more confident as you, as things start to click? You know, you learn one thing, then you learn another. And I guess at some point you stop thinking, you just play, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, when you combine athleticism with like knowledge, the game just slows down because, you know, I could, you know, use my athleticism to, you know, essentially kind of read and react and, you know, essentially jump the play before it happens, you know. And but before, I didn't really know what was going on. So I was just kind of like a lost duck out there. I didn't just try and find my way.
I guess you went with the right attitude, though, because I'd read that you said you knew you weren't ready. It wasn't like you went in there and was expecting or demanding of yourself. So you were quite realistic about it as you went to Michigan.
Yeah. I went in, you know, as a freshman, I seen, you know, they had high level talent. It's a high level school. So, you know, a guy that's been playing, you know, essentially one season, two seasons of high school football, you know, you can't expect to come and, you know, take, you know, one sure. of the junior or senior's jobs. You know, instead you come, you watch the junior and the senior, you learn from them, you know, and you work hard. So when it's your turn, you know, you skyrocket as well.
What was it like the first time you ran out of the big house, 100,000 people there?
Man, you can't even put it into words. It's really 100,000+ people, you know, and you're just doing a 360 look around. It's surreal, honestly.
You probably catch yourself because there'll be a fan in you that'll just be like, wow, this is cool. And then you go, hang on a minute, I'm one of the players. I need to get back to the focus.
Trust. Even sometimes when I was out on the field doing like a timeout, I'll just be just doing loops and just like, man, I'm in the middle of 100,000 people.
So we'll be back with David after this short break.
Neil, the playoffs are in full swing now. We're into the last... well, three games of the season. I feel like we've gone so far that I need some gas and air. Like I've run the length of the pitch and got a touchdown.
It has been an incredible... right, hang on, I've stopped that. Yeah. Okay, Julie's going to Morrison's, in case you're wondering. Everyone, Julie's going to Morrison's. We'll leave all this in. Julie's going to Morrison's. Does anyone need anything? Right, cool. She's giving me... I think she's buying one... She's either buying one thing or she's just giving me the middle finger. Well, I'm not sure which it is.
Is she buying a ticket to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, no, she should, shouldn't she? She should, because we're going to attempt to leave this in. Let's leave it in. If she goes with Elite Sports Travel, they're down to four teams on the road to Super Bowl 57 in Arizona. And with Elite Sports Travel... Gary, you can book it now, even if you don't think your team or you're not sure if your team's going to make it that final step. And you can tell us more.
So what you're telling me is that if you're a fan of the Eagles, the Chiefs, give me the other two, Neil.
The 49ers and the Bengals.
Just wanted to make sure you're on the ball as well and you weren't sleeping after Manchester. So if you're a fan of any of those four teams, then you can book your ticket. And if your team doesn't make it, you get a full refund with no quibble.
Exactly. So, yeah, you can go to at Elite Sports Trav on Twitter, on social media. Also, I'll be doing an event, hosting an event with them on the Friday night before Super Bowl, bringing in a friend of mine from the NFL who's going to be joining me. So we'll do a little bit on stage, a little bit of a meet and greet. It's a really nice evening to kind of kick off Super Bowl weekend for all those that travel with Elite Sports. So, yeah, we're down to four. There will be two and you could be there. So, yeah, get in touch with the guys at Elite Sports Travel. They are the best in the business.
I feel like it's almost like an anti-Bruce Arians trip, isn't it? Because no risk it, no biscuit. But there's no risk because you book it, your team doesn't get there, you get your money back.
Yeah, the only difference
everyone wins.
Is... yeah, but it might be very Bruce Arians like in that there will be cocktails.
That's if your team gets there.
Yes, you have something to celebrate. But, I mean, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. So, yeah, get involved because we are not far away now and it is a spectacle. It really is. You don't want to miss it. Get to the Super Bowl if you can.
So, elitesporttravel.co.uk or find them on social media, Elite Sport Trav, and get your tickets to Super Bowl. Neil, let's get back to the interview.
This is 7-time Pro Bowler Cam Jordan and you're listening to the Neil Reynolds Podcast.
2020, that was interesting. You came back home to Scotland for what was supposed to be a short visit. Mm-hmm. And we all know what happened in 2020 in the world. You got stuck, right? How frustrating was that?
Man, honestly, I don't know if frustrating was the word, man. It was just kind of like, I mean, for everybody, life just slowed down. You know, there's nothing we could do about it, but now we got to, you know, you got to plan for the next. How am I going to work my way around this? You know, I can't fly back. So that's why I started working out at home on the computer, just like we're doing now, Zoom. And just making it work, man, in my backyard.
How did you stay in shape? Because the gyms were shut, right? Everything was shut. How did you, because it's okay for one of us to do like PE with Joe Wicks on YouTube, right? I can do that. That's probably not going to be good enough for you. How did you, yeah. How did you stay in Division I shape?
Well, I mean, one, the strength staff in Michigan is second to none. You know, they're top of the line. So they had me in check. But then also I just told myself, like, you know, it's out of my control that, you know, I can't go back. But what's in my control is that, you know, I can stay fit, you know, somehow, some way. So, you know, I can't go back while everyone's already there and then try and work my way back. So I have a big backyard, you know, you can make it work, man, if you really wanted to. So I was just running.
You got creative. Creative.
That's it. That's like, all.
Full Rocky IV.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get it how you get it, man.
Good for you. And when you became the starter in 2021, did you then, maybe you thought it before, but did you even allow yourself to start thinking about the NFL? And because things were then clicking, right? You're the starter. This is what you've been wanting at the top program. You must have been filled with confidence as you went through that season.
Yeah, I mean, man, if I'm being real, confidence was being built right as soon as I stepped foot in Michigan. So it's just a case of, you know, getting to show it now, you know, and I was in no rush, you know. I knew my time was going to come at some point. So, you know, when it came, I took it full stride. And the NFL, I mean, they didn't know about me, you know, until the season was maybe even halfway through. So, you know, I wasn't really thinking about that. I just knew I put my best foot forward and I give my all, you know, somebody going to notice, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Your pro day, obviously we know what happened. We happened there. You know, adversity comes in many different ways, I think, on paths to the NFL. You tore your Achilles. I mean, you can talk me through it in a second, but first question, were you scared in terms of thinking about what was next with the NFL? The NFL was just around the corner. What was the first thoughts you had?
Got to get it fixed. That's the first thing, man. Got to get it fixed. You know, no point crying, screaming, yelling. You know, it's torn. You know, crying not going to fix it, so I just called my agent, called my peoples. I flew out the next day. I had surgery the day after. So he's got to trust God's plan, man. End of the day, you know, he gives his hardest battles to the strongest soldiers. So, you know, I just stayed down, prayed, and, you know, you see how life's going right now.
So that suggests to me that you're, and you've said it a couple of times already, you kind of look forward. You look forward to what's, do you think that's helped you get to where you are now as an NFL player? Because you could have got stuck in that moment. You could have kept looking back at that moment. It sounds like it happened. It's happened now. How can we move forward from that? Do you think that's been a key to where you are?
Yeah, that's life, man. I mean, what's happened has happened. If we all had a rewind button, we'll probably use it. But, you know, you just got to keep it pushing. And, you know, have faith that everything happens for a reason. So that's personally how I approached it. Like, you know, and now I'm seeing God's reason, you know, reuniting me with, you know, my coach, my brother Odafe, you know, my coach's brother, Coach Harbaugh. So, you know, I trust it all, man. It's above me.
Yeah. It must have been a great moment. I'll talk about the Baltimore Ravens in a second because they're a great organization. I've got to know them very well and the people there over the years. But to hear your name called in the draft after everything you've been through, from where you've come from, not knowing this sport, and the videos are wonderful. It seemed like it was a really emotional time and a special time for you and your family.
Yeah, man, it's surreal. It's surreal, you know, it's dreams to reality. And then, you know, I didn't even start crying until I kind of look around and I saw my closest family members and friends were all around me. And that's when it really hit home, you know, just... You know, essentially, your people just watch your dream become a reality. And, you know, I won't trade that film for the world.
And I guess by then you're into rehab. I guess in a way you're still doing that. What's next? And working your way back. How was it working your way back? Can it be a lonely time, a challenging time?
Stay prayed up, man. That's why God's in your corner. You know, I just next, you know, just what's next. And, you know, it's a slow process, but you got to trust it. You know, your Achilles, you know, got to loosen back up, got to get strength back in. You can't do it in a month, 2 months, you know. So if you pray it up and you patient, you thinking what's next and what's coming, don't really get lonely.
You mentioned the few bits how it was meant to be with the Baltimore Ravens, and it is a fantastic organization, and defense runs through their DNA. I mean, you only got to walk around that building, look at people that have played for that team, look at pictures. Did that hit you as well? What's it like being a Baltimore Raven?
It's a perfect organization, man. And, you know, like I said, I didn't waver because I knew God had a plan. And as soon as I heard my name called, you know, I knew exactly, you know, why all that happened. And, man, this organization is like this. You know, everybody got each other back, and, you know, we're all working towards one goal, and I couldn't have asked for, you know, a better destination.
You've played, as we're recording this, you've played two games back. Your brother was very excited to see you back, wasn't he? There's some great footage of the, tell us about that. Did you see that afterwards, how excited he was, how emotional he was?
Yeah. It was after, man. I mean, that just shows you the kind of love, you know, we got for each other, man. And, yeah, you know, just how emotional this has all been. And, you know, we just trusted God through it all, and it's all happening.
How excited were you to get that first sack, first forced fumble, to be on the field in the NFL, making the plays that you knew you could make, I'm sure. You knew you could do it, but to be out there actually doing it.
It was a matter of time, man. Like I said, you can't question yourself. You can't all of a sudden forget who you are, you know, just because a little adversity hits, you know. So I just stayed down, stayed patient, kept working. I knew as soon as, you know, my number's called, I'm just get back to doing what I do.
I just want to go back last couple, just to finish off. Do you feel like so you, when you learned and you had to learn from scratch, and so you didn't know the game, so you had to learn the game, and I guess, well, I don't know, do you love the game now you're in it? Do you, is it a game that's kind of really grown on you? Because obviously it was a game, a sport you didn't know at all. What's your feelings now? You've been in through college and now you're in the NFL. Do you kind of love the NFL and the sport?
Yeah, I mean, the reason I even got into this is because I'm a competitor. I'm a born competitor. You know, I came over to this country, you know, for two whole different sports, and they didn't work out, you know, but I kept going because it's my love for competing. You know, I got to get it somehow, you know. And I found football. Football is perfect because a lot of times it's mano y mano, you know, one-on-one. So it's either you win or you lose. You know what I'm saying? You beat somebody or you get beat up. So, you know, it just fuels my competitive nature. And I'm in love with the sport now, man. It's my life. You know, it's my job.
Obviously, you're going to be focused on your games, your career. But how does it make you feel that other British kids, other international players, you know, players from Scotland can look at David Ojabo and say, well, I can do that? How does that make you feel? Do you kind of take that and relish that, being a role model now?
Yeah, man, it's a blessing, man. It's a blessing. It's what God, you know, put me on this earth, you know, to be. And I was in that same shoes, just kind of looking up other people, which is what even gave me the idea to come over to the U.S. in the first place, you know. So now I kind of be that kind of, you know, model piece for my people back home. It's a blessing, man. I just pray that they all, you know, stay prayed up and believe in themselves, man, because, you know, that's all it takes, just self-belief.
And I guess that belief as well, it's about keeping that belief going, right? There'll be valleys, there'll be peaks, but there'll be valleys, won't there, on any journey like yours?
Yeah, it'll show you how bad you really want it, because you know, the road to success, road to riches, all that, it's not easy. So, you know, at some point it'll question how bad you really want it. And then that's when you believe in yourself, believe in the process, and, you know, believe in the people around you. You know, it's going to come. Trust. It's not easy. It's not smooth. But, you know, when that time comes, you know, you'll know if you really want it.
What do you miss most about Scotland?
You got to be there to know what I'm talking about. Just the people, man. The people, the environment, just kind of that cool, calm vibe, you know, just walking around. you know, fearless, and everybody, you know, everybody's on good vibes, you know. Not much goes on, you know, you don't really hear, you know, too much, even cars honking and beeping, you know.
Yeah. It's
a cool, calm vibe that I miss. And, you know, end of the day, look, I'm in America now, though, so I got to adjust a little bit. But, nah, that cool, calm vibe, man, I won't trade that for the world.
Do you miss any food?
If I'm being real, I stuck to my traditional roots. My mom, she...
Okay.
She was big on her Nigerian food, our Nigerian food. So that's what I ate coming from Nigeria. So that...
I'll tell you what, though.
I need a can of Iron Brew soon, or a box load, so...
Oh, you're a true Scot. You're a true Scot, then.
I need that ASAP.
So there you are. I hope you enjoyed my conversation with David Ajabo. What a journey it's been for him going from Scotland to the NFL, and hope many more can follow in his footsteps. Let's bring back in Gary Hayes, who's going to open up the mailbag for us this week.
Well, Neil, let's just get stuck into it, because there's been a lot of football and there's a lot of questions flying your way. So this first one is from Will Moxon. Moxon _ Will on Twitter says, what's the best move for Aaron Rodgers? Stay, leave, or retire? And for the Packers, what is best? Try to keep him or trade him?
I think it's better for Green Bay if they try to trade him now, given his hefty salary. I'm not sure how much they will, how much they would go for that. You know, how much other people would invest in getting Aaron Rodgers. But I think it'd be better for a nice parting of the ways between those two now. I think Aaron's got to try and find a team that's going to allow him to win. I think there are some teams out there that can win right now with an Aaron Rodgers. I think even though Tua Tagovailoa was very good for Miami this year, I think they're infatuated with somebody who could kickstart that offense. Aaron Rodgers with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I'm not sure he's done. I think he might try 1 year. That kind of... Every quarterback seems to do it. Like Peyton Manning did it, Joe Montana, Tom Brady did it with the Bucks. That one last stop somewhere else when you've been used to seeing them in one uniform the whole time, and then they go and play somewhere else for their final stop. I think that's in Aaron Rodgers' future.
Could do a Russell Wilson, though.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the same thing again. You get so used to seeing them in one uniform, and then they go somewhere else. So it's certainly something to look at. I think... Green Bay want to give Jordan Love a look. I don't think Aaron Rodgers feels the Packers are a win or two away, and he probably wants one last run at a Super Bowl.
Right, so Tom Marshall, a Red Zoner UK on Twitter. Actually, he's thinking outside the box here, and I like this. Neil, we won't ever get a Super Bowl, but could we get a neutral site conference championship game played here in the UK?
I like the idea of it, and I wouldn't rule it out, because we had this, Gary, with the possibility of it this year with following the Bills' safety, Damar Hamlin suffering the cardiac arrest. There was an uneven number of games played between Buffalo and Kansas City. So if they had met in the conference championship weekend, that was going to be in Atlanta at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. The NFL put tickets on sale last week for that potential game. They sold 50,000 in the first 24 hours. It was going to be a stadium half Buffalo, half Kansas City, and it would have created such a buzz around the Super Bowl semifinals, if you will. So I wouldn't rule it out. I think the fact that it almost happened has put it on the NFL's radar. Now, you earn home field advantage. That's why you get the number one seed in the playoffs. But you could get the number one seed and get a week off and be at home until the semi-final. And actually, if you think about it, in our sporting sense, it would not make sense to play the FA Cup semi-final with one team at home and one away. And we know how much they want to grow the game internationally. And I think they could take the AFC and the NFC championship games around America the same way they do the draft. And I don't think it would be unfair, because... You know, it's kind of what's in our sporting, it's in our sporting culture, isn't it, to play semi-finals at neutral venues. So, certainly an intriguing one from Tom. I would love to see it, I think.
Well, I guess you could have one in England and one in Germany.
Well, oh, Gary, there you go. Well, do you know what? We had, of course, the announcement of the designated teams for the UK and Germany. So we've got three games in 2023 in the UK. So we've got Buffalo at Tottenham, we've got Tennessee at Tottenham, and we've got the Jags at Wembley, and then we've got Kansas City
somewhere in Germany to be determined, and New England in Germany. So three games in the UK, two in Germany. It's just getting bigger and bigger internationally.
Right, so last question goes to Chris
Good,
Payne.
I'm tired. Sorry, Karen.
I can hear it. Slurring your words.
A lot of talking this week. Slurring my words. I've been drinking on the train. I
mean, you've been with Jeff Reinbold for 8 hours. I'm surprised you're not slurring your words.
Yeah.
You've done very well.
No bedtime for us.
Right, so Chris Payne says, this is actually another good one. They normally are good, but I think this week is especially good. So, Neil, if you were starting a side from scratch, what would you deem most important? The quality of coaching, the quality of the offensive skill players, or the quality of the defensive skill players?
So I think players still win games. I think coaching is important, and the relationship between a coach and his quarterback is vital. But I'm going to say offensive skill position, because I'm going to go and get myself a quarterback right from the start. If you look at the four teams that were remaining in the AFC this weekend, that's just gone, the divisional round of the playoffs, all four of those teams had invested a top 10 draft pick in their quarterback. And the two teams, Jacksonville and Cincinnati, took the first overall pick on quarterbacks in Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow. So you have to have a quarterback. You've got, as we're recording this, we're heading towards the conference championship weekend. Joe Burrow for the Bengals, absolute star. Patrick Mahomes, superstar for the Kansas City Chiefs. Jalen Hurts coming off a career year for the Philadelphia Eagles. And then the outlier there is Brock Purdy of the 49ers. He wasn't supposed to be in this position, but he's not lost a game since he's become an NFL starter. So you have to find yourself a franchise quarterback. If you find that, you can be a playoff contender year in and year out. And Patrick Mahomes is the perfect example of that. This coming weekend, the Chiefs will play at home in the AFC Championship game for the fifth straight season. That's all five seasons in which Patrick Mahomes has been the starter. And to put that into context, the Chiefs have been around since the 1960s. They hadn't hosted a championship game before they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Changes wow. everything. Changes everything.
Oh, he's an incredible talent, at least.
That was my mic drop moment, so I'm done.
Right, well, actually, you can mic drop me this. Who we got on next week?
Yeah, I've dropped my mic already. I'm working on it, Gary. This is a fluid thing. It's a fluid thing. I feel like a teacher checking on me when I'm getting my homework in. So no, I don't know yet. But I will say this. There will be another story from the world of football. That's what we will bring you on the Neil Reynolds podcast. But I've had a busy, busy weekend. Two live shows for Sky in Manchester. So I'm calling it a day. So my thanks to David Ajabo, again, congratulations on your journey so far. We're going to follow you all the way through your NFL career. My thanks to Gary Hayes, to the good people at Elite Sports Travel. And thank you for listening. And we'll catch you next time.
And next week, Julie will show a receipt to prove what she bought in Morrison's.
Yeah, I don't know what I've got for my dinner now. It's made me quite hungry thinking about it. Stay tuned. Cheers, mate. Been listening to the Neil Reynolds podcast, brought to you by Elite Sports Travel. This episode was hosted by myself, Neil Reynolds, while Gary Hayes is our producer. Gary and I have also written this series together. Our consultant producers are Kerry Levy, Jackie Anklin, Nick Lapworth, and Neil Pacchietto. Taylor Hayes mixed this episode and also composed our theme music. If you'd like to keep up to date with everything we're doing throughout the season, then please follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the NR Podcast. My personal account is also at Neil Reynolds NFL. If you've enjoyed this podcast and would like to hear more like it, then visit highway61.media. That's HWY61.media. Please tell your friends about the podcast and help spread the word. Better still, leave us a rating and review wherever you're listening. This has been a Highway 61 production for the Reynolds Podcast Network.